working out or fitness takes discipline, right? And that's the one thing that we don't give enough credit to for the fitness industry is the amount of discipline that it takes. You know, you don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to be a CEO of anything, but there is some, you have to give some credit to the people who show up every day, do the hard things that it takes to get that, what they're, you know, to meet the goals that they want to.
Welcome to the Bar Bend Podcast, where we talk to the smartest athletes, coaches, and minds from around the world of strength. I'm your host, David Thomas Tao, and this podcast is presented by barbend.com. Today, I'm talking to Joel Del Rosario, an active duty Marine and fitness coach who has 17 years of experience with fitness in the military. We discuss fitness standards in today's United States military, along with how Joel's approach to training and combat readiness has evolved over the past decade and a half. If you've ever been interested in learning how service members prepare their bodies and minds for the rigors of military duty, this is an episode you don't want to miss. Also, we're incredibly thankful that you listen to this podcast. So if you haven't already, be sure to leave a rating and review of the Bar Bend Podcast in your app of choice. Now let's get to it. Joel, thanks so much for joining us today. I wanted to talk to you for a few different reasons, but let's start with the basics. Let's get into your fitness background and your fitness journey. And I always ask that, I have to be careful because it's not like your fitness journey is over. So like, just bring us up to speed as to how you got where you are today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, by the way. My fitness journey has been all over the place, but really where it started, where it got serious was in the military. I'm an active duty Marine, still active today. So I enlisted in 2005 back and when OIF was still happening. So Operation Iraqi Freedom was still going on. And I was young, I was 19, and I was around other fit people that, you know, you just kind of have to keep up with them and try to get strong. Marines, I'm going to throw this out there. Marines are not the best when it comes to form, when it comes to lifting form or anything like that, but they are relentless and they have a lot of discipline when it comes to going to the gym. So that said, I was trying to keep up with my friends, trying to just get stronger, better, faster, leaner. And that's pretty much where my fitness journey started. From there, as I got older, I started to realize, hey, I really need to start working a little bit more on my flexibility and mobility. It's not just about getting strong and building muscle, right? I met my wife, Rebecca Rouse, who is the other co-founder of Temper Stronger. We'll get there soon. But she is a gymnast, or she was a gymnast, and she's very flexible, very mobile. And she has a lot of core strength, and she kind of jump-started me into helping me become a little more mobile and flexible and focus a little more on my form and lifelong fitness rather than just getting strong just with the single joint exercises and anything like that. So where I am today, she got into kettlebells through being a trainer at Equinox, and she was a manager as well for them. She got into kettlebells with one of her trainers, and she kind of introduced me to kettlebells. I've seen them before as doorstoppers before. I've seen kettlebells as doorstoppers, but
they're very good as doorstoppers. You're not gonna find a better doorstopper than a kettlebell.
They're very good for that, absolutely. And when she started using them and started teaching them to me, I understood the benefit of using them, especially for me being in the military, when sometimes you can't take full gyms with you. You can just take kettlebells with you on deployment. So I learned a little bit more about kettlebells, learned how to use them and implement them in my workouts, and I fell in love with them. So that's what I've been doing now, is a lot more kettlebells and barbells and all that, but still getting strong and testing my strength with the barbell, which is great.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to have a biased opinion, I'm sure. What is the fittest branch of the United States military, and why?
I will say, obviously, the Marine Corps.
Obviously.
Yeah. We have the reason for that, though, it's not necessarily because we have Marines are just like to be fit. It's because we have higher standards when it comes to physical fitness. So all the other branches have a PFT, which is a physical fitness test, or the different acronyms for it, but it's essentially is a run portion, a upper body strength portion, a core portion of a physical fitness test. And the Marine Corps, we have a 3-mile run that we have to complete, and a perfect score is 18 minutes, which is, you know, you're doing 6-minute miles there. you have to do pull-ups and you have to do crunches or a plank for 4.5 minutes. The Army has a 2-mile run versus a 3-mile run. The Navy has a 1.5 miles, and so on. And I don't think any of the other branches do pull-ups yet, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be implementing those or something like it soon.
So wait, what is a perfect score? So a perfect score is an 18-minute or under 3-mile run. What about pull-ups and then the core portion?
Pull-ups, it's for my age group, is 23 pull-ups, strict pull-ups, no kipping, anything like that. Your chin has to go above the bar. Your knees can't come past your waist, so you can't bicycle or try anything weird. You just got to do strict pull-ups from dead hang up to the chin or past your chin. And that's 23 of those. And then for the crunches, I believe for my age group is 115 to 120. Or you can do the plank, and the plank is 4 minutes and 30 seconds around there.
What are you? So what is the time domain for the crunches? Is it 2 minutes?
For the crunches, yeah. So sorry about that. Yeah, it's a 2-minute time frame.
All right. And what is, okay, so that's like perfect score. You have to do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
What is the minimum passing score?
The minimum passing score, I'm going to probably butcher this because I've never been there before, but...
nothing you've ever had to worry about.
Right. So for the pull-ups, again, it's age-related, but I'm pretty sure it's 3. It depends on males and females. It's either 3 for females, and then I believe 4, 5, 6 maybe for males. And then that's for pull-ups. The crunches, I believe it's also for the age range, and it's going to be somewhere in the 70 or 80 range, and that's going to depend on your age as well. And then for the runtime, if you're a male, depending on age, but the average age, if you go past 28 minutes and 30 seconds, I believe, is when you fail that event, and you got to pass them all in order to at least get a score.
All right, I got to ask, what's your most recent score? How close? How we know that you're not toward the bottom. You're not worried about the minimum work requirements here. How are you doing on those scores, though?
I'm not doing too badly. I'm 36 years old, and surprisingly, the older I get, the more consistent I get. But it's for my runtime, 18-minute runtime. My last one, I believe, was at 18:55. Or 19:10, somewhere around there, for a 3-mile. I'm not a runner. I hate it, but I have to keep doing it in order, you know, to be part of this branch service and to be a leader, right? So the pull-ups, I maxed out the pull-ups. I can do over 30 pull-ups, so that's not an issue for me. And then I do the plank rather than the crunches. So for me, I feel more comfortable holding a plank for 4 minutes and 30 seconds. So I can hold the plank for over 10 minutes. It's an elbow plank. It's not like a push-up plank, but it's an elbow plank.
Gotcha. Okay. So what has changed about the approach to fitness in your branch of the military? I know you can't speak for everyone. And when some people refer to the military, I think they think of it as this like monolithic thing, but they're all different branches. There are variations within the branches. There's a lot going on. But in your experience, what has changed about the military's approach to fitness, or I guess the Marines' approach to fitness over the past, you know, 16 years since you first enlisted?
Yeah, that's a good question. For us, we used to focus heavily on those 3 events that I told you about, which was the run, the pull-ups, and the crunches, or the plank. The plank is new, by the way, which is the Marine Corps started focusing, started realizing that the crunch, that how we were doing the crunches was more focusing on, it targeted more the hip flexors than it did the core because of how you were able to do the crunches. So because they wanted to focus a little more on core strength, they implemented the plank, and that is recent. That's in the last, I believe in the last 2 or 3 years they've implemented that. For the rest of the fitness in the Marine Corps, we focus a lot more on functional fitness. I think there's been a shift more towards becoming strong, not bigger, faster, but leaner, faster, because we're carrying a lot of equipment with us. And when we deploy, not only are we not getting the same nourishment or eating the same kind of food that we are when we're back in the United States, but we're constantly have less water, less access to water. We have less access to natural foods, probably not as much sleep, so fewer hours of sleep and all that. So we take all that into account, and we're trying to build a more functional fitness culture in the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps implemented, along with all the other branches, or some the Army implemented it as well, a more of a combat fitness test where you do kind of a small obstacle course where you're doing movements that are going to be, that are mimicking things that you would do in combat. And that is also part of our fitness tests that we do every year.
What is the obstacle course standardized, or will it be different from one facility to the next? And what kind of movements might you be doing in that obstacle course?
Yeah, it's standardized, and you can usually do it about 100 yards. You need about 100 yards, and you're doing low crawls, high crawls, you're doing sprints. You're doing this in boots, and you're doing it in uniforms, like full uniforms. So that way you can really emulate what it's like to do this in combat, right? You execute zigzags on cones, you pick up a buddy, you carry a buddy with a over-the-shoulder carry or a fireman's carry, and you carry them down about 75 yards. You pick up ammo cans, which is like there's a square can where you put ammo in, and there are 30 pounds each, and you carry those two of those back and forth, and then you throw a grenade, and you come back, and you got to do this all within a certain amount of time. It's when we're done here, I'll send you a link to what the CFT, it's called a combat fitness test, looks like, and it's really interesting.
Well, I like you're describing it. You're basically describing like a wad that a CrossFitter might do. You've got the buddy carries, you got the farmer's carries with the ammunition cans, crawls, sprints, all sorts of stuff. I mean, the one caveat might be the grenade throw, but they actually did have a softball throw at the CrossFit Games years ago.
It's very similar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it all kind of fits in. Take us through your first time going through that, because you know you're a pretty fit guy. You wouldn't be on this podcast. We wouldn't be having this conversation if it weren't for that. But the combat fitness test, something relatively new. It's now in the Marines. Also utilized a version of it by the Army. Take us through like your the first time ever going through that. Did you think that it was a good replication of some of the stress you might face in a combat situation physically?
Yeah. I've been to, just so I can give you where I've been before, you can kind of understand my perspective. I deployed to Iraq in 2007, and then I deployed to Afghanistan in 2009 and 10. And I just came back. Well, not just came back in 2018. I came back from a more recent deployment, where we trained with other units across the world. In my Iraq deployment, I was engaged in combat there. So I kind of understand a little bit of how it feels, how your body, what your body goes through and all that. So to answer your question about the CFT, the combat fitness test, and my first time going through that, I was younger when I first got implemented. And when it first got implemented, I was just, the first thing you do, again, I told you one portion of the CFT or the combat fitness test was the obstacle course. Before that, you have to do a half a mile sprint. And then you also have to do with the same ammo cans that weigh 30 pounds, you have to do kind of like an overhead press to a lockout for about 110 reps of that, which it's light at first, but when you do that and you have 2 minutes to do it.
Well, just take a 30-pound dumbbell and press it overhead 100 times. You're going to feel, I don't care how strong you are overhead, you're going to feel some fatigue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So for the half mile sprint, it's the first thing that you do. And I was young. I was like, half mile, it's not that bad. I mean, and I've never run before in my heavy boots and uniform. So I took off completely. I just did a full out sprint. Not even a quarter way through, I was gassed. And I was just, this is not what I was expecting. So, I still did pretty well on that portion. Maybe I got, I forget what the time was. Maybe I got somewhere in the 3 minute mark for a half a mile, right? But it's not what I was thinking it was going to be. So I was young, dumb, and I was just like, I can do this. I don't get tired. I just took off. That set the stage for the rest of the other two events that were coming, because my body was gassed. You get a couple of minutes of rest between the events, but when I got to the ammo can overhead presses, my legs were jello. They were jello, and my heart rate wasn't going down. I could feel my heart just kind of coming out of my chest. And then when I got to the what we call the maneuver under fire, which is that portion I told you about where you do the zigzags and you pick up a buddy and all that, they call that the maneuver under fire. When I got to that portion, I was out. I was just running on fumes at that point. So that was my first experience. At that point, I got to practice this because I saw other people do well. I saw other older people do well, which was surprising. And the reason, so I did some studying and I worked with, just myself and figuring out what I was doing wrong. And eventually I figured out that you have, just like a CrossFit exercise or a functional fitness exercise, you have to pace yourself. If you don't pace yourself, you're going to eventually end up getting a worse score than if you pace yourself. So now when I do the half mile sprint, I start at 70% and I keep that 70%. And then towards the end, when I'm at my last quarter portion of the half mile, I will give it all I have, which is still maybe the same speed. So I maintain that speed, which gives me a much better time. I was able to get, I think, like 2 minutes and 15 seconds on my half mile sprint, which is much better than I was my first time doing it. The same thing with every single other event. It's just, if you pace yourself, you end up getting a much better score, which is what older people were doing because they understood their bodies better. They didn't want to, they also didn't want to get injured. So they were like, I'm just going to go take this, one step at a time and take it, not try to go all out and impress anyone. And when you don't try to impress anyone, just focusing on what you got to do to get done and get the better score, you figure out that pacing yourself in situations like that works a lot better.
Well, you mentioned that you've gotten more consistent as you've gotten older. With age comes wisdom. And, part of fitness, it's between the ears. It's understanding what you're capable of, where your threshold is over time. So, it's refreshing to hear. And for anyone listening to this, fitness is not just a young person's game, right? Like,
exactly.
You gotta be smart about this, and you'd be surprised at what you're able to do. So let's talk about a little bit about, you're not on deployment right now.
Correct.
Which is, we could actually record. I have recorded podcasts with folks, I think not on active deployment, but obviously in other countries, thanks to the magic of the internet, if they have a good connection.
So great.
So tell us a little bit about, your life now. Obviously, you're active in the fitness community. I know you and your wife work together on a lot of fitness initiatives. I'd love to hear about that in just a second, but tell us a little bit about how fitness is a part of your routine these days as an active duty military service person.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. Fitness is not really, for me, it's not really a chore. It's more like a part of my lifestyle. Right. So, I'll be completely honest. If it was up to me and I could sit down and just watch Netflix all day and not do anything and still be able to perform, I would, because I love to watch movies. I love to just sit down and not do anything, but I understand that in order for me to be, I'm a captain in the Marine Corps. That means that I have to lead other Marines. And in order for me to lead other Marines and not be a hypocrite, I have to be able to perform and ask of them what I would be able to do myself. I wouldn't ask any of my Marines to do something that I would not be able to do myself, or that I'm not willing to do myself. And part of being, so I have to be a representative of what I say, or I have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So part of my life has become a fitness kind of mindset as well, but not because I want to get muscular. That's a secondary thing that comes for me. I just want to be able to perform. And in the Marine Corps, just like a lot of other military branches as well, when you show up and you meet someone, if you're physically fit, you are considered competent until proven otherwise. Mm. Right. So
and there are a lot of ways to prove you're not competent. Let's just
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's not saying that you're competent, but first impression, and you see someone, you meet someone in the military and they're physically fit, like, okay, this guy, I'm going to listen. And then he or she can then prove me that it's either right or wrong. Right. So, if you show up and you're out of shape, you look like crap, you don't have, you don't have a fresh haircut and your uniform looks like crap, then you're going to be considered incompetent until proven otherwise. So, again, it's not necessarily saying that person's incompetent. It's just that is how you're showing up to the quote unquote job interview. Right.
It's great to know that I would fail just on the basis of never looking like I've had a recent haircut. People can't, we're not going to use the video in the podcast. We're just going to use the audio, but I got my haircut like a week and a half ago and it already looks like an overgrown bush. So good to see I chose the right line of work for me.
As you know, working out or fitness takes discipline, right? And that's the one thing that we don't give enough credit to for the fitness industry is the amount of discipline that it takes. You know, you don't have to be a PhD. You don't have to be a CEO of anything. But there is some, you have to give some credit to the people who show up every day, do the hard things that it takes to get that, what they're, to meet the goals that they want to. And it's not just like, oh, you have the genes to do it. Like, I hate when people tell me like, oh, you're genetically gifted. No, that's not a thing. I mean, yeah, you can be genetically like predisposed to be able to grow muscle more easily, but you still have to put in the work, right? And so the discipline that it takes to be a strong person, I think, is something that we don't give enough credit to for the fitness community. And I think that's a big portion of being in the military as well, because we're full of discipline. We preach discipline in the Marine Corps. The first thing when you go to boot camp is you learn discipline. And discipline, I think, has some negative connotations, because when you talk about discipline, it has so many different meanings, right? It can mean to be punished. It can mean law, like a field of work or a field of study, right? Like someone's discipline. But in our case, it means the ability to, if I want to word this correctly, how we approach and how we we're going to implement. I'm trying to get the right wording here, but discipline pretty much is how we go in and day out, and we try to fulfill our goals. Try to shape our world in a positive way, but you have to do it in a consistent manner, right? Because consistency is part of discipline. You have to do it when you don't want to and when you want to, because discipline comes in and plays a big part in everybody's life. When you wake up in the morning and you're like, I don't really feel like going to the gym today. I don't really feel like going to work. Discipline is going to get you there. So that is the biggest thing that I think we take away from, or we don't give enough credit to the fitness community, is that the discipline that it takes to work and get to that, to those goals that we want to meet every single day.
And I want to just, as a perfect example of Joel's discipline, he's one of the rare podcast guests who was logged on early to this podcast recording. Punctuality, consistency. I always like to point that out. Okay, let's transition. And thank you for the explanation. It's not always easy to take a concept that could be as nebulous as discipline. Discipline, what does that mean? You ask someone on the street to define discipline, they're going to be like, I mean, that's what I would do. But taking us through the different connotations and meanings that a single word or concept can have applied in various walks of life and to various lifestyles, I think it's important. And I think that we use buzzwords a lot in the fitness industry and they kind of become crutches, right? Like, what does that even mean? What are we examining what that means and how it impacts our process? So I appreciate that. And I'm really glad we dove into that. Tell us a little bit about your company, your approach to fitness. I know you and your wife work on it together. I did just the right level of internet stalking to prepare for this podcast. tell us a little bit about that. What is that? What are your goals?
Yeah. So Semper Stronger is the name of our company. And it's a phenomenal project. I want to call it that because it's not over yet, right? We're not done with it. There's so much more that's left to do in Semper Stronger. But what it is, my wife and I, last year during the whole COVID situation, we decided that we wanted to kind of start a platform that is going to make and help people become stronger, so they can overcome life's challenges with confidence. So it's a platform that is helping people become stronger versions of themselves, physically and mentally. And we do this by providing high quality fitness programs. Kettlebell programs is what we're known for right now. So kettlebell work is what we're known for, mainly because it's still a really slightly untapped community that a lot of people can have a lot of advantage and can use to their advantage quite a bit. But we still have barbell work. We have some body weight as well and more. But this program that we're providing is WODS, this workouts of the day, focuses on developing physical and mental strength, right? And the physical is by obviously providing those programs and those workouts of the day. And then the mental comes from the mindset. And we do our best to try to implement a disciplined kind of mindset went to our approach to working out. So we, you know, the supportive community that we have, what we stand for, which is hard work, discipline, and everything that we do day in and day out to show up and do the workout and inspire each other and to actually get the work done. Not only is it to finish the workout, but that bleeds into everyday life for people. And that's the mindset that we're trying to build, is a disciplined mindset that is going to, it's like a training. So if I may define discipline a little better, it's training that corrects and molds, perfects a sense of mental or physical things that you want to do in order to build your moral and physical character, right? So it's a training, so it's pretty much training that corrects the things that you want to make better and make yourself better. So that is discipline, because training not only fits into the physical strength to get strong, but you have to train your mind in order to be resilient and be able to not only get through that workout, but the work day or the stressful situation. So that's what our platform. That's what we want to do. That's what we're doing. But we want to be able to incorporate a little more mental aspect with it. And that's coming soon for anybody who's listening. Know that we're going to be implementing a lot more of the mental resilience and training into the Semper Stronger platform as well.
Where's the best place for people to follow along with the work you're doing? Or if just people, you know, even if they're just like, oh, I don't want to go that deep, I just want some really cool workouts, I want to watch this guy throw around some heavy bells with some really fit people. Where's the best place for people to follow along with you?
Best place is at Semper Stronger on Instagram. We also have a webpage that actually, so I am not the face of Semper Stronger, my wife is. And her name is Rebecca Rouse. So at Rebecca Rouse, you can find her. She's very impressive. And if you haven't seen her yet, she's the reason why we're successful. I'm going to be successful. She's, like I said, very impressive. So we have at Semper Stronger on Instagram or Facebook. We also have semperstronger.com. For me, I am on Instagram Joeler blades. It's kind of like roller blades, but with Joel in the beginning.
I love it. I'm so glad we talked about it. It's just such a good handle.
It's fun. But yeah, people can find us there. We also are going to be moving to Dallas soon, and we're going to be bringing Semper Strong over to Dallas, and try to have some, physical workouts or in-person workouts with people so that people can get to know the brand, get to know what we do, learn about how to get physically and mentally stronger so that they can conquer life challenges with confidence.
Awesome. Well, Joel, thanks so much for joining us, or Joel or Joeler Blades, as he might be better known. God, it's such a good name. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your story, your work. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to hearing this podcast and hearing the future podcasts you have on.